Blog Talk Radio. Five seconds. Four, three, two, one. Blog Talk Radio.
Dear President, Green Lantern, Pulse of the People. Sante Sana.
I don't represent the red, white, and blue. I cut the head off the devil and I throw it at you. Uhuru is my worldview, RBG to the grave. Even though Obama the president, we still enslaved. I ain't had to be born or be raised on the continent. I know where I'm from, it's engraved in my consciousness. We one folk, many tribes, many sons and daughters. Before the white man's artificial borders, we was warrior kings. Victorious dynasties had to open my mind and see they historians lied to me. I don't know what my tribe was, they stole my culture. But I know I'm still standing on ancestors' shoulders. Yo, I could have been Costa, Yoruba, Kikuyu. So I just claim I'm all from Ashanti to Zulu. I am, because we are one tribe, children of the sunshine. Let's ride, it's nation time.
Udu Belahe, Mena Shaitane Rajin. Udu Belahe, Mena Shaitane Rajin. Udu Belahe, Mena Shaitane Rajin. Udu Belahe, Mena Shaitane Rajin.
Why don't you tell me the truth? I can think for myself. Everything they manufacture be so bad for your health. Why they so parasitic? Why they so hypocritic? Why they take everything real and turn it into a gimmick? I learn from people that live it. I'm a G with no limits. I'ma always stay committed. A minute until we win it. RBG represented. If I said it, I meant it. That's why you got to stay. Cause they could change any minute. I took a visit to the border of Kenya and Tanzania, and they got the same oppressors that we got over here. It's a global revolution, everybody get down. Cause when I look around, the majority is brown. So we may as well link it up. Time cold, sink it up. Fresh water straight out the earth, you better drink it up. Revolutionary love, freedom, what I'm thinking of. Meet me at the steps of the capital if you've seen enough.
Udu Belahe, Mena Shaitane Rajin. Udu Belahe, Mena Shaitane Rajin. Udu Belahe, Mena Shaitane Rajin.
WRBG, Red, Black,
Green Lady.
Because we are one tribe. Because we are one tribe. It's a global revolution. Everybody get down. Get down. Get down. I am. One tribe, children of the sunshine. Let's ride, it's nation time.
Peace and blessings, family. This is the Order of Ma'at Radio. This is your host, Seek Wisdom, and co-host, Brother Amaru. What the business is, Brother Amaru?
Oh, what it do, what it do?
I am feeling good tonight. What about you? What's good with you?
I'm feeling black fucking tastic.
All right,
I'm pumped up and excited about these guests we got coming on tonight.
Yes.
The brother and the sister gonna really come in here and put it down for the fam.
Yes.
And when I say put it down, I mean on many different levels.
Many different levels. So I hope y'all ready for that. Relax, open your minds and open your ears and open your hearts, because this information we about to get into today is mandatory that we hear this and we feel this. Before we go any further, I want to go ahead and let everyone know that we are simulcasting this broadcast tonight with the Black Womaniverse. So for anyone who is on Facebook or on the Black Womaniverse Blog Talk Radio page, come on over to blogtalkradio.com/theorderofmaat, so you can join in and participate in the chat with the rest of the family. Shouts out to everybody who is in the chat room already. I see y'all. Peace and love. And we have our guests waiting, but we're going to do as we always do first, which is to kick off the honor and reverence to our ancestors with libation. So I'm going to start this off with Dr. Betty Shabazz. My God.
Dr. John Henry Clark.
Ashe. Atta be
Dr.
well.
Dr. Kishaka Musa Barashango.
My yacht.
My yacht.
Dr. Amos Wilson.
My yacht.
Dr. John Henry Clark.
My yacht. Amenta Harriet Tubman.
Indeed, my yacht and Ashe. Coretta Scott King.
My yacht.
Sojourner Truth.
Betty Lou Hamer.
My yacht.
My yacht.
Elijah Muhammad.
My yacht. Noble Drew Ali.
My yacht, and Ashe.
My yacht. Marcus Messiah Garvey.
My yacht.
Dr. Chancellor Williams.
Sheikh Ansa Diop. My yacht.
My yacht. Dr. Ivan Van Sertima.
My yacht. Dr. Obenga. George E.M. James.
My yacht.
All right. We pay honor and reverence to our ancestors. We say Ashe and my yacht.
My yacht.
And family, since we're all here together, we want to, you know, pour our, you know, blessings and healing and our thoughts and everything toward one of our great teachers, whom is still with us, Dr. Yosef Ben Yochanan.
My yacht. Most definitely.
All right, brother.
The African proverb for the day is real simple, real short, real sweet. Know thyself.
Indeed.
Know thyself. Because if you know thyself, you know all that exists within the universe. Because it's as above, so below, as within, so without. The microcosm of the macrocosm, as it is carved into the walls in the temples, in the temple of Dendera. Know thyself. My yacht.
My yacht. All right, we're going to go ahead and play the introduction for our guest today.
I've been conscious since 92. I've accumulated the mass library in metaphysics. Learned our history with the help of Aztec, John Henry Clark, and Asa Hilliard, and Minister Louis Farrakhan. Brother Kofizi really studied Egyptology, the alchemy, and the esoteric sciences at a high level. We can't just be limited to just a certain discipline. The greater your knowledge, greater your knowledge, greater your knowledge, greater your knowledge. The question we have to ask is why? Brother Kofizi, one's heart chakra must be open in order to receive this level of information. Brother Kofizi, been over 10 years now studying metaphysics, comedic sciences. It's one thing to deal with your history, and but it's also to continuously push the envelope, and that's where metaphysics comes in.
It's the mystery.
Hi, how are you?
Okay.
I've known that I've had the ability since I was a very small child.
The history of iniquity.
I have to visualize things happening to people. You have a child, and that child likes to speak openly with you about the visions that they are seeing. Allow them to speak them out and express them. The main thing with channeling is You have to work through accepting it. But once you accept the gift that you have, then the door is open. Then the door is open. This is LaToya. You first have to accept who you are as a spiritual being. The humans on this planet have figured out a way to come into the other side.
Sometimes it seems we'll touch that dream, slow and not at all.
I truly believe that we all have it. Just that with some people, it lays dormant.
Let's love ourselves and we can fail.
Traditionally, indigenous people have always had a matriarchal society or matriarchal system, which dealt with the feminine principle first. When you're teaching anything or learning anything on a spiritual level, you have to go to nature. Nature, right?
Wow. Brother Kasivi, Sister LaToya, are you with us?
Yeah, how you doing? Can you hear us?
Yes. Blessings. How are you tonight?
We're doing great.
Great.
Peace and greetings to the God and the Goddess.
Okay. Peace, brother.
All right.
Wow. We're going to cover so much tonight. I don't even know where to start. I guess we can start off with, we heard a little bit of your background on the intro that Brother Amaru put together. And Brother Amaru, that intro was tight.
Thank you.
Could you tell us just a little bit of background about you and I guess we can start off there as far as yourself and Sister LaToya.
Okay, yeah, I first started getting conscious with Louis Farrakhan. From Louis Farrakhan, I started studying the teachings of Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And I didn't quite join the nation, but I would attend the mosque quite a bit, learn the messenger's teachings. I dealt with Aztec. I dealt with it's a program up here called The Whole Story, African-centered history program. That we would go to schools and do supplemental teachings. We did that not just in Detroit, but went to Philly. We went to Tuskegee, Alabama, Atlanta, Chicago. You know, we kind of traveled doing that, trying to wake the kids up from a cultural standpoint. Did a lot of that in the 90s. Then I started dealing with metaphysics in 1998 and introduced that by Bobby Hemmett. And then after that, it's been ongoing since. The metaphysics obviously takes the knowledge to a whole nother level, but the things that I learned before that, the history, that helped prepare me to be able to even want to deal with the metaphysics. And then once I started dealing with that, that's been going on for almost over 10 years now. And then actually I started dealing with Swallow the Lubits as far as an Egyptian scholar. Then that's kind of taken things even to a whole nother level. And then I was fortunate enough to meet my queen, and we kind of compare notes, and with her, I've been able to even go to another level, and that's pretty much where we're at right now. And we're together, and we teach the people together, and we just continuously trying to learn more and more.
All right. Mm-hmm. Sister Toya, can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Well. I like to focus on my studies.
Okay.
Study on the topic of this, and I meditate a lot. And I try to keep it as spiritual as possible and as real as possible.
All right.
That's what it strives towards.
All right. Brother Kasivi, you just mentioned Swallow the Lubits. Some people have never heard of Swallow the Lubits before. Could you let us know who Swallow the Lubits is in terms of your research and your studies?
Yeah, he is he's an author from France. He's a mathematician. He was born in the 1890s. He died in the early 1960s. He had a lifelong study of ancient Egypt. He actually went to Egypt for a weekend, and he wound up staying over 10 years. And from that, he one of the books that he wrote was his masterwork, The Temple of Man. That one's like $200. But he has several other works. He was actually vilified in his native land. They called him too controversial. They called him crazy. They considered him, to take too many chances. But as years went on, they tried to have scholars pitted against him, and no one could scholastically dispute the things that he was saying, to the point where he actually called his own people evil. He said, "It's evil for you," meaning the people that control the information, to have the information, to have the truth, and not disclose it to the community, not just in France, but all over the world. He called them evil, and he was forever vilified. And it was one gentleman that they, that was, kind of combating with him through the media and everything, and he wound up dying, And so pretty much at the last 10 years of his life, even in France, they had to kind of bear witness to Swallow the Lubits' information was on point. And it's interesting, a lot of his work hasn't been available here in America up until the early 80s. And I think one of the reasons why it's not as popular is because it can be a little more complicated. The people, if they pick Swallow the Lubits up and they're not prepared, it can go over their heads. An excellent book that he had called The Nature Word, the very first line in that book, it says, it's difficult how to explain this knowledge to the unprepared reader. So he assumes that you're on another level. So those of you that have studied quite a bit, he assumes you know your mythology. He assumes you know your quantum physics. He assumes you know your Kabbalah. He assumes you know the alchemy, the eschatology. He assumes you know these things, and he picks up from there. So anyone that has been in the game a long time, particularly if you've got a very sound understanding of these matters, I strongly suggest getting Swallow the Lubits. You can go to Amazon.com and just put Swallow the Lubits in. And he has several books. If I was going to push two of them initially, it would be Esotericism and Symbolic. Esotericism and Symbolic. And then it's a classic, The Nature Word. It's called Nature Word. Those two books, not to mention all his other books. He has a couple of books that he's done, this document when he went over to on the Temple of Karnak and so forth, and he breaks down the actual temple. But those two books initially, I would strongly suggest them.
All right, Brother Maru, did you have a question?
When you started talking about metaphysics and esoteric knowledge, and teachings, can you kind of like give us, for the benefit of the audience, a breakdown of just what metaphysics is in your own definition? What is metaphysics?
Well, metaphysics, it's also tied to when you deal with the terminology of esoteric and exoteric. There's a physical portion and a spiritual portion. With all this knowledge that we deal with, what we have to keep in mind is that there's two principalities going on. There's a physical and a spiritual. A lot of times there can be so much information to come at us that it's just, we say, wow, it's just deep. But with anything that we do, we need to have a reference point. And with all this knowledge that we have is physical and spiritual. So metaphysics is dealing with the spiritual side of the knowledge. When you deal more so with a religion, it's dealing with a physical side or an emotional side. Religion and spirituality is two different things. And when you're dealing with esotericism or metaphysics, it's dealing with that which lies beneath. But before something is apparent in the physical, something came before it. And I think one of the critical things, before you any type of spiritual teaching, any type of metaphysical knowledge, is we have to understand the base mythology. Okay, when we talk about the base mythology, we're talking about what happened at the beginning. There's a book called The Other Bible by Barnstone. In there, they asked the Gnostic Christ or the Gnostic Jesus, the pre-Christian Jesus, they asked him, when will we know the end? They said, you'll know the end when you know the beginning. Because when you have an understanding of the beginning, you understand that we're linked beyond the physical. We're linked beyond Nation of Islam, Hebrew, Israelite. We're linked beyond a Moor. Before we were any of that, we were. Before there was a physical body, we were. And, brother, you said it at the top in your introduction, know thyself. That is the most poignant thing, to know thyself, because when we know thyself, we realize this thing is beyond the physical. We are cosmic beings. We are some extraterrestrial brothers, as George Clinton once said. And we need, and our soul has a history, and we need to learn our soul. And when you learn the soul, that's where the mythology comes in, because the mythology explains what happened in a story format. And when we get that basic understanding of that beginning, it takes a lot of the confusion away. And it deals with a lot of topics, fear, for one, and a certain peace of mind with just knowing basically what time it is and what happened, how it's affecting us now, and where we're going to. That's where the mythology and the metaphysics come into play.
Indeed. And, you know, how important do you think it is for us to kind of look at the current situation and transcend the fear that's perpetuated on the society? Because from my point of view, I see the chief block or the main obstacle in spiritual growth being fear. And it's perpetuated through the media, the propaganda machine, through the religions, the powers that be. And I think, you know, for the most part, we as people don't really understand how powerful fear is.
Definitely. Yeah, that's a good question. The more we understand about something is when the fear disappears. I think the first thing we have to do is understand who we are, and that goes back to the beginning. And we have to understand, once we get an understanding of the beginning, then we'll understand where we're going, and that will eliminate the fear. What I want to do, I'm going to briefly go over the beginning, go over the mythology, for those that are not familiar with it. With the mythology, there are different mythologies. You have Greek mythology, Roman mythology, you got Chaldean oracles, you got the Book of Enoch. You got the Gnostic scriptures. A lot of us have already studied these things. I generally teach from the Gnostic scripture because most of us grew up in the church. It's something that we're familiar with. And when you're dealing with the Gnostic scriptures, they talk about a pre-physical or a spiritual universe, a land of the Great Mother. Okay, this is and what happened is she has a family. And just to use an example, 360 degrees of knowledge. The offspring, they all have the same 360 degree or 360 degree potential, but they only understand that once they get what they call it in the Gnostic scripture called get acquaintance. And one of the offspring, his name was Adalabov. He got about 270 degrees, but he never quite got the acquaintance, and he decides to break off from the original family. He comes to the physical. He creates a physical in the image of the spiritual, or of the Great Mother Ram, and he creates the physical earth. And he creates these physical bodies. And these physical bodies are not animate. They just land dormant. And the Great Mother figure out what happened. So she sends seven angels over, and these seven angels replace the seven angels that he created. And they told him, they say, well, look, man, you created this physical earth. You've created this physical universe. You created these physical bodies, but nothing's moving. Everything is stagnant. If you blow your wind into these humans, they'll become animate. But little did Adalabov know that he possessed the eternal seed like the eternal battery. But if he blew his wind into the human, he would lose it. He would give it away. He didn't realize that because, remember, he didn't have a full 360 of knowledge because he broke away from the original family. So he goes ahead and blows the wind into the human. And the human now possess that eternal seed, which is a piece of the Great Mother. And so now he no longer has that eternal seed. He becomes a solar deity, or we call him the Creator. There's a difference between the Creator and the Most High Great Mother. So at this point, the human being who now possesses a piece of the Great Mother inside of him, and that's called the soul, the human being has become greater than the Creator that had created it. You see, now in the book of Genesis, there's about four chapters before the book of Genesis. They don't tell us about this story. This is the oldest story ever told. The story is told in different forms based on the system that you use in different parts of the world, but it's generally the same thing. The young overthrows the old. The children overthrow their mama. Everything goes back to the great feminine. It goes back in the physical. We come from a physical mama. In the spiritual, we come from a spiritual mama. So when he blew the wind in us, at that point we became both eternal with the seed, but we also are limited, or we are finite or terrestrial with the physical body. So that's what makes you yin and yang. That's where the Star of David come from. Going up is the physical, going down is the vagina, is the spiritual. So he realized this. So he only loves your physical body. He hates your soul. They're talking about the Creator, or they call him the Adalabal. So the thing is, and what I'm explaining, again, that's just a short, abbreviated version, is that if we understand that we have a piece of the Great Mother inside of us, and that's our true self and our higher self.
Would you call that the divine spark?
That's the divine spark. And we have it inside of us. So when we die, we're only getting rid of the physical body. You see what I'm saying? The sister in Toledo called it the earth suit. It's like your car does not define who you are. You're inside the car. Your car is just something to get you from A to B.
Right.
Your physical body is just something that you use in this three-dimensional realm that we're in, at this particular vibratory rate. The physical body does not define us. We have to get on top of this death and be able to stand up for a principle, because we all are going to die eventually. We saw the movie 2012. Woody Harrelson decided he didn't want to get on the ark. He understands that he's an eternal being. He understands his soul lives forever. He said, I'm not going to miss this for the world. But even if you get on the ark and you repopulate to Africa or Australia, you're still going to die. It's just going to be another 50 years before you die. But we know, those of us that have studied, we know that the physical is the illusion and the spiritual realm is just that, it's eternal. So when you leave, one thing that's for certain in the physical is that you're going to die. One thing that's for certain in the spiritual is that you're going to live forever. So we shouldn't be afraid to embrace something, we're going to have an eternal life.
Indeed.
So these are the type of things we need to deal with. And so not only should we not be afraid of death, we got to realize death is the prize. And when you can no longer be ruled by fear, then you can't be ruled psychologically and consciously. Because we all going to die. If we can get past that, all the stuff in between don't matter too much.
Now, the question I have briefly is, a lot of our people have gotten or come into consciousness the most obvious way via history, coming into knowledge of our history. And that's one level. But there's a lot more that we need to know as a people and as just in general. So can you bridge the gap, if you may, between black consciousness and universal or cosmic consciousness?
Well, this is LaToya. First of all, I'd like to say this. The brother just posed the question, or the mom's, about fear. Fear is not what our biggest downfall or hurdle is. Fear is the cop-out. What our biggest downfall and hurdle is ego. and constantly needing a title, constantly needing for others to praise us around us and having a status and having a rank. It's the ego.
Okay.
The reason why Dollar Ball couldn't get the acquaintance is because of the ego. He couldn't gather the other degrees of knowledge to make it to 360 degrees because he couldn't get over the ego. That's why he abandoned the values and the lessons of the Great Mother in the first place and went off on his own to do his own thing. It wasn't because of fear. It was because of ego. So until we can get that beast under control, then we can sit and talk science all day long, but you're not going to get to the infinite cycle until you can control that ego. Until you know within yourself that you don't need a status. You don't need a name. You don't need a title. Because when you transition and go through, none of that will matter. It's all going to stay right here with this physical matter. And part of the reason why a lot of us keep incarnating in the same body over and over again in a human body is because we haven't learned that lesson yet. So when we cross over, we have to sign up to come back again to try to master that. When you can master the ego and master not being feeling like you under a title or deserve to be applauded and awarded a title, that's when you have truly overcome. So it's not the fear. The fear is an excuse.
Well, what I mean by fear is the fear that's perpetuated in society to keep people from this type of knowledge.
They can't perpetuate anything unless you allow them to.
Understood.
That's something that the people that want to keep us under control, that's something that they teach to those that are in control over us, to our landlord. They teach us, you know, keep them in fear. Keep them confused. That's what the Tower of Babel was all about. Don't allow them to come together. That's trickery. Where does the trickery come from? Where does the perpetuated fear come from? From the ego that's on the other side, that's instructing the orders to the elite, making them impose that type of thing on the people. It all resolves back to the ego, needing a title, not feeling your self-worth. So usually what happens is when people don't feel their self-worth, they got to go after something to try to get a title, to put a title on themselves so they can feel important or feel special or feel like they're closer to the supreme being when really they're further away. See, that's the trick. The ones that don't have to be seen and that don't have to be heard are the ones that don't have the ego. Those are the ones that are the shining stars out there. And the darkness that's around the shining stars out there are the multitudes of people that have the ego and live in darkness. So it's not fear. Fear is only part of it, but when you go to the root is the ego. The ego is what makes you disobedient. The ego is what makes you go astray. When you don't sit and meditate to your higher self and you just run and jump and move, you create a monster. So now here it is, a dollar boss done breathed his life into the human, not realizing that once he breathed his soul into the human or placed part of his soul into the human, or into man, when they procreate, that soul and that spirit is going to get split a million times. That's why the earth is populated now. It all started with ego.
Yeah, and that also coincides, like what you were saying, as far as the different levels of consciousness. One thing I feel that's important for black people to deal with is even those of us in the conscious community, sometimes we can spend so much time being upset with the European and what they've done. And don't get me wrong.
Right, it ain't their fault.
You recognize game and recognize things that have happened and is continuing to happen. But it's a difference between hating someone and understanding them, between hating something and understanding it. And one thing that's very important is for us to understand a bigger picture. And if we are upset or mostly suspended with anything, whether it's Europeans or anybody else, that's going to stunt the growth for us to go to another level, like you're saying, go to another level consciously. And we're dealing with the cosmos. See what I'm saying? Our soul is above and beyond gender. Before we were dealing with all this, the racism or the things that went down in the physical, we were. So that's why I think it's very important to deal with the concept of connecting to your cosmic ancestry and knowing your cosmic genealogy and knowing your cosmic background, because that'll supersede anything you're dealing with in the physical. It's just a matter of putting things in perspective. It's like we got bigger fish to fry than dealing with somebody because they don't like you or something that they've done. Well, what we are dealing with as far as the alchemical transformation, that's something on a whole nother level. You see what I'm saying? Now, it's like if you're a cat and you didn't reach the level where you can drink milk and eat fish every day, you're a millionaire as a cat. And you can continue to want that or be upset because another cat denied you that, or now you can turn into a human. You see the jump? That's something on a whole nother level. To go from a cat at its highest level to becoming a human, you got more options. And that's what we are dealing with, being in the physical body in this particular dimension, elevating to a whole other dimension, elevating to a light being, once we were and still is in multi dimensions. Yeah, so I think that's very critical as far as the we need to try to get past the. I know something. It feels that I'm not saying forget things. I want to be clear on that. I'm just saying we need to understand the bigger picture. You know, we go encounter things along the way, whether it's stuff we see on the news or whatever, or things are going on in our schools or with our children. You know, with these shocks, and you know we can go on and on and on about what's going on. But just understand, have things in a certain reference point. Spiritually, what we can control, that stuff is on another level. You know, so we should be interested in maybe discussing those things for a few minutes. But ultimately, we have a cosmos to deal with.
So how does one prepare themselves for this ultimate transformation that you're talking about, this alchemical process that, you know, this transforming base metal into gold on the physical level, but it's something else altogether spiritually. So how do you prepare yourself, you know, for these levels?
Well, Latoya just made it, she just mentioned it. First thing is that ego, because that ego it represents the physical. In the Kabbalah, before you can go to the top three sephiroth, and one thing I just want to make this clear, when we're dealing with the mythology, we're dealing with the Kabbalah, we're dealing with these are just various forms of teaching methods. Ultimately, the knowledge is within. Ultimately, we go within to the Akashic records to deal with this information. But these books, these mythologies, whether we're dealing with the Kabbalah or the Gnostic scripture, these are instruments that can help us tap into our spiritual self. But in the Kabbalah, in order to go to the top three sephiroths, which are considered the spiritual sephiroths, we have to go through what's called the dot. Now, in order to go through the dot, or to go through that spiritual rite of passage, the physical has to die off. So the key here is the things that we hold dear in the physical, those have to be devalued. There has to be a symbolical death. The physical has to die off. Just like in the Matrix, Morpheus told Neo, you got to let it all go, Neo. You got to let the physical go in your mind. And like Latoya just said, be devoid of ego. Then they're like Spock in Star Trek. You see what I'm saying? We got to be devoid of ego. That's the main thing. But another thing when you're dealing with alchemy, which they say, there's a pure heart. You have, there's a sincerity in the heart.
It's a sincerity in the heart that must be achieved. That heart chakra got to be open. Because if that heart chakra is not open, the spiritual knowledge is just going to be some stuff that's, it's just data. It's just gathering data. But when the heart chakra is open, it takes on a whole nother light to it. You know, it's something that you start connecting to your higher self. So one thing about the spirit realm, it's cut and dry. You either have your heart is either pure or it's sincere or it's not. If it's not sincere, the transmissions ain't gonna come through. Not at that level. You see what I'm saying? But you have to go through that symbolical death in the physical to even entertain the idea of tapping into anything spiritual. You got to put things in perspective on the physical.
Also, the main problem we have besides ego, the second problem after ego, if you really want to get to your highest level, and some of y'all might get mad with me for saying this, but oh well, it's the truth. You're going to have to stop giving people credit for greatness when you're really giving them too much credit. Because first of all, this is one thing I learned when I went over to Egypt. There were some brothers that was over there, some Arab brothers. And they basically was all in all but erasing history. Being paid a salary to just, you know, defile what was originally the ancestors that we fall under. And I'm like, well, how could you, you know, do that? But I had to sit and really think. First of all, you have to ask yourself this, and this is a spiritual question and also a question of matter and of the flesh. Who is a greater man? Who is a great man? And who is a greater man? I'm not ashamed to say that if my ancestors allowed me or allowed my ancestors before me and their ancestors before them, allow them to go through slavery, those were not great men, I'm sorry. And those that came to us as leaders must not have been so great if we still in the same condition. So that's the second lesson. You cannot give so much credit and title and exaltation, exalting people who really don't deserve it. You could put up a good fight, but depending on how good of a fight you put up, it's going to be whether when the man comes, whether you bow down and agree to get fucked in the ass and be a slave and let your children's 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 children be all messed up in this treachery, or if you're willing to die for what you believe. See, do you really think there's a poet named Dante. He got a book called The Last Comedy. And this book is centuries, years old. Go back centuries. And it's called the Divine Comedy, The Last Comedy. And this was about how the black Moors came into Rome over there and put the white citizens out and just went over there and just straight took over. And then the Caucasian Romans got together and said, well, look, we got to get these niggas up out of there. So they went up in the caves and grouped together and came back down
and fought a war with them in order to get their land back. And they ain't had to worry about no blacks coming over there ever since, taking nothing. They children's 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 children is over there making sure of that. So who was the greater man? Look at Queen Elizabeth. She get a tailor-made dress every day. Every last bit of her clothes is couture. She has never worn the same outfit twice. And we have to struggle to put clothes and layaway for our children and for ourselves. And I'm not saying that because they have the materialism, that makes them better. No, that's not what I'm saying. Because I'm quite sure that in her heart, of all hearts, she is miserable having to sit there and live like that every day. Don't have no privacy. Got to have guards around her every day. There's no freedom. She got to keep up a status, an image. Because her image is supposed to depict the image of royalty. This is the life that was chosen for her. So we have to look and say, okay, well, what's great and what's not great? The same way that when you was coming up, you would fear, you know, making your grandmother or grandfather upset if you went and got your ears pierced or if you went and wore the wrong kind of clothes. Those same ancestors should have put in you, look, hey, this is what the deal is. This is what the real deal is. And when the time comes, that's what you need to do. And even though we got to play by the rules and try to go to these people church, this is what the real deal is. This is what this really meant in the Bible. This is how you really translate this. Instead, we turn around and we'll swear oaths to deceive our own people so we can get titles, so we can wear a name, so we can get a check. Get some type of monetary gain, some type of material gain. And then think we're going to reach the highest levels where we can't get past ego and can't get past deceiving our own people for a price. You could tell if they worked is great because by now, or war should have broke out by now, but it hasn't. And I'm going to tell you why the war hasn't broken out. When people talk about slavery, it bothers me a little bit that one group of people could enslave another group of people. Yeah, that bothers me a little bit. But when you look at it in actuality, you never was a slave. They're the ones that give you the training in school and teach you about slavery. They teach you by the time you're in the third, fourth grade about slavery, about getting whipped and lynched and sold. And you might get a spanking from your parents, but you ain't never got whipped or lynched. And then it's like, well, what you so angry about? You thinking they're calling you a slave. They just teaching you about slavery. They didn't say you was a slave. They're teaching you about slavery. But you put in your mind, oh, that was my great-great-granddaddy, my great-great-grandmama. Oh, they slayed them. Oh, I want retribution. Oh, I want to go do this, do that. Why? You wasn't a slave. See, as soon as you think like that, that's when they got you. When my children got ready for school, I'm telling you right now, when it came time for them teachers to teach them about slavery, I signed a statement, a notarized statement, that school system was not to teach them nothing about slavery. And when they got ready to speak on slavery, my children ought to sit outside in the hallway. If they're going to learn about slavery, they're going to learn the slavery at home with me.
That's right.
And see, that's the problem. We sit and give too many people credit and titles that they don't deserve when they're working right along with those that perpetuate the fear that the brother's talking about And they got millions of us under control. When I talk about under control, under mind control. And they're getting a fat check from the government. And we giving them praise, been giving them praise for decades. And they got a check for keeping us under control, believe that. They traded us in for cars and houses and planes and boats and living a good life with their women and their children, living a good life, and their children's children living a good life for a price to keep us from knowing about the other side and knowing how to get there.
I've seen, when I worked with the whole story, I traveled various parts of the country, and I've seen blacks that were in a position that could really make a difference. I'm talking about superintendents, principals, heads of districts, university presidents, and they choose to just kind of take a step back and not really take a stand.
Leaders of religious organizations. I'm talking about the big fish. I ain't talking about the little fish. I'm talking about the big fish. We giving them honor and praise and still in the same condition. Evidently, what they did wasn't so right. That's just me. I'm sorry. That's just me. I'm real. I'm as real as it gets. Ain't nothing fake about me. I speak my mind. Must not be too great. Look at the condition we in still.
So in...
They're living lovely. They getting plenty of money. Believe you me, they're getting plenty of money. Everybody not your friend. Everybody that call the cracker devil is not your friend, trust me. Everybody call the white man the devil is your friend.
Say that.
I don't care who they, where they coming from. Because if that was the case, then they would be telling you how to get to the other side. They would be telling you that this is not even reality. And how to come up out of it. Because the more we tap into the other side and come up out of this and detach from this physically over here and connect spiritually over there, the more this over here fails and crumbles and falls. And they know that. There's a reason why this economy is going down, and it ain't got nothing to do with Bush. It ain't got nothing to do with the war. People realizing what's fake and what's bullshit.
Indeed.
And more people are starting to connect to their higher self, even white people. Even white people are starting to admit now that we was the original. And about Mother Africa, Mother Earth, and protecting the earth, and being green, and you know, stop with the pollution, and stop with the death, stop with the genocide. Stop with the rap music that's affecting the kids.
When is enough?
Everybody is awakening now. You have to ask yourself why. And the more people awaken, the more these dark shadows that's been running things from behind a cloak, the more they think is going down. And they keep us stupid so they can be our landlords and collect our money on every scale, on every degree. They don't even teach you about the bones in your body when you're in school. They don't teach you about the domestication of the human being. All they teach you is about the ape man and he evolved and learned how to walk upright. But they don't teach you about how the spine has 33 bones in it. They don't teach you about every bone in your body. Every single bone in your body is a degree of knowledge that you have to master. Then after that, you have your muscles and your nerves. You have your joints. You have the blood vessels. You have the arteries and the veins. These are things you must master. But they don't teach you this. They just teach you, go to PE and do you some jumping jacks, eat some nasty-ass lunch, play an hour in recess, and go your ass home. Work our job. We'll give you a raise every now and then. When your ass get old, we'll give you some pills. Then when you get a little older, we'll throw you in a hole.
with a nice suit on.
You know, sister, I heard you on another interview, but I'm telling you something. You on fire tonight.
Yes,
so,
she is.
Fire tonight. And that's how we like to bring it, though. So, you know, that's how we like to bring it. We like to keep it real. Because we ain't got no faking up in here. Because we know the condition of our people. We know that we are the original. We also know that we got to transcend all this bullshit that keeps being perpetuated in our society, in our community, amongst our people. And a lot of it is perpetuated by people that look just like us. So I'm glad you dropped it like this, because this is the same type of shit we be talking about and be trying to get people to hear, but it seems like they don't be hearing us.
Right,
so I'm just glad somebody outside the circle that, you know, that's bringing a fresh perspective to the group.
Right.
But what the truth is, a lot of the white people that people feel is perpetuating all this stuff is actually, you know, us.
Mm-hmm.
From the other side. They came back and chose to be who they are.
And see, that's the thing that a lot of black people do not like to talk about. We like to talk about how spiritual we are, how much melanin we got, and, you know, all the things our ancestors can do. Well, it would only make sense that if we can pick our parents and we can choose when we were born, that we also can pick what type of body we want to be in the next time around, depending on what we want to do.
That's right. If it's something that you still need to master, that you have not yet mastered.
Everybody is so stuck on, you know, black versus white, masculine versus feminine, and that keeps us stuck on this one level instead of understanding exactly what this is about. It really has nothing to do with. It has something to do with race, but that's on a low level. It has much more to do with it.
Exactly. It needs to be put in a close perspective.
They already know who we are. We're just coming into awareness of who we are, but they know who we are. So they know that once we wake up, there's nothing that they can hold from us. So that racial thing is very important, but it's a low level. It's a lot more to it that we close our minds to, because we think once we find out that we're black and we're the original, that's it. That's not it. It's a lot more.
Exactly. That's the tragedy of the whole thing. We are so far behind. You'd be surprised the kind of stuff they're doing. I mean, not just the stuff they're doing, stuff they've been doing. We just like they're dealing with some stuff on a 500th degree. We still dealing with some stuff on a 50th degree.
They deal with stuff on every degree for every bone in the body.
And you're exactly right.
Every bone in the skeleton human body is a degree to them. And you got people around here walking around with degrees, thinking they know something, don't know shit.
That's just a piece of paper.
Them white folk live and breathe the human skeleton. Every bone has a story and a purpose. And until you master that, that's it. Because when you die, guess what happens? Your flesh goes back to the dust, right? Your blood goes back to the dust. Your bones even go back to the dust, but your bones take a way longer time. But the marrow in the center of those bones carry all your DNA. Every bone has a purpose in the body. And every bone is a degree. The spine has 33. That's when you can stand upright. But that's just only one part of the domestication. Other parts of the domestication deal with physical stuff, but, you know, you got people that study death, too. And they worship that the anatomy of those bones. We have to learn that. Why do we choose to come back in this human body, in this human form, in a vertebrate form anyway? We choose to come back as an animal, because a human ain't nothing but an animal. Whatever you're thinking, you know better than a dog or a cat. You know better than anything else that got a spine. Because you let something go wrong,
like what happened in Hurricane Katrina. You let something wrong like that go wrong worldwide where there's no law in place to stop you from being your original self, and you're going to revert back. It's only a matter of time.
Just to kind of go into how far removed we are, just in comparison to the animals, one thing about the birds stick together. Mm. Your fish stick together.
The wolves stick together.
They understand it's going to be cold in the wintertime. We're going south where it's warm. The spider knows you're the enemy, and it runs from you as soon as they hear the light come on. We don't stick together. We don't know who the enemy is. When the hurricane, when the tsunami come, all the animals, they went up to the mountain. They have a certain instinct.
All the animals and all the slow people. All the people in that town that everybody thought was retarded and was slow and, oh, they crazy, they mental, was right up there with the animals already. A lot of the people that don't talk and don't have much to say, because I usually don't have much to say. I only talk when I'm speaking knowledge. But I will tell you this, a lot of the ones that are extremely quiet, those are the ones that are extremely connected. And while people thinking they crazy and need a crazy check, or thinking they deaf and mute and can't talk, they tap them more on their spiritual side, and that's why they can feel when nature gonna act up and go about their business. Because all the animals were gathered up in the same area on the side of that mountain. And a lot of the old people and a lot of the middle-aged people and the young people, the villagers that they thought was mentally disabled, was right up there with them animals while everybody else was down there getting drowned and killed.
Yeah, so one thing is also is trying to, is, you know, a lot of stuff is going down, but trying to get a bigger picture from a spiritual standpoint. And when we're talking about alchemy, we're talking about a transformation. Like the analogy I just used earlier about the birds sticking together, and the Kabbalah teaches nothing exists but consciousness. And if you equate that to nature, that you always have a mass of something, and there's always a small seed. So there's only going to be so many people is going to represent the seed in consciousness. 97% per se is going to go with the flow of whatever nature is or whatever the situation is or whatever the culture is. So it's always going to be about 3 to 5% that go against the grain of consciousness, and that's what we represent. You know, we willingly are representing that seed to try to make that connection, to willingly get the ego out the way, get the physical part of the consciousness out the way, so the spirit can come online. And what's going on with our people here in America through this insanity, speaking of this, particularly those with the original seed, because not everybody got an original seed when you factor in the clones and the counterfeit spirits. When the insanity takes place, and we're dealing with this mass ignorance, what's happening subconsciously is that the physical brain or that physical consciousness has completely dissipated. So we operate ebbing and flowing on the high degree of the five senses. But at the same time, dealing with this at a bigger picture based on an alchemical standpoint, that allows that spiritual soul to rise up. You see what I'm saying? So it's damn if they do, damn if they don't. Now, on one hand, yeah, things are real bad. But on the other hand, it is producing a certain spiritual energy. Because remember, this is all an illusion. Earth is like an experiment. Those of us that study our mythology. So the physical consciousness is dead now. That's what's allowing this spiritual energy to come online. And the difference between the conscious people and the non-conscious people, we are voluntarily trying to get that physical consciousness out the way. But then the people, the dead people, it's happening anyway. You see what I'm saying? So there's a certain method to the madness to a certain extent. But at the same time, we have a responsibility, those of us that are conscious, to tap in And we got to also, when we're dealing with multi-dimensions, the soul can occupy more than one body. But sometimes you can get upset with your family member or your friend, but you don't realize you could have incarnated in two or three different bodies. That person can be there to test you to make sure you get it, so that you are the shining star. That your star shine bright. You see what I'm saying? And ultimately, we do the overall transition. This is part of the alchemical process. So the craziness, the ignorance, it destroys the physical consciousness so the spiritual consciousness can come online. And so that's putting things in a certain perspective. So we don't need to be arguing with trying to convince your point to people that ain't trying to hear nothing. We don't need to be holding people's hand to be too preoccupied with, like LaToya was talking about, with these world leaders. We can't look at nobody to lead us. You're your own God and goddess. It ain't but so many. And we were just talking about, if you look up in the sky, there's a few stars out there, the rest of it is just black. There ain't but so many stars. So those of us that are conscious and that are on the path, we need to focus on us and focus on your own individual energy. And we're spending too much time holding people's hand. But we got to also understand that that's also part of the grand scheme of things as well when we're dealing with alchemy. So that's putting things in a certain perspective. Things are bad, but at the same time, we still need to have some perspective of things.
I heard Sister LaToya and yourself, Brother Cassidy, talk about and looking at culture and not just focusing on one point. Like, a lot of people go to Kemet and they get stuck there and they don't study other things. And one of the biggest things I heard the both of you speak about was Angkor Wat. Could you get into Angkor Wat and what's there at Angkor Wat for some of us, for some people who may not have heard of that before, and kind of sort of tell us a little bit about what you found there in pictures and things of that nature?
Yeah, it's a brother did a documentary, an excellent documentary I recommend. It's Africans in Asia. It's by Brother Eugene Adams. And over there, they show on their temple walls, and first of all, the temple of Angkor Wat itself is over 30 miles wide, 36 miles wide. And just the magnitude of that alone, just imagine a church or a mosque that's 36 miles wide. And in this church or in this temple, on their hieroglyphic walls, they show that they have a depiction in stone of the history of the African going through the diaspora and here in America. So they took the time out to show our story. Now, the reason we know it's an African story is because the cat that they show is a lion, and we know what's indigenous in Asia is a tiger. So they're specifically talking about the African people. And they also they were showing the djembe drum. And they showed the history of us over in Africa, living her, and then we went to war with them, and we went through the Middle Passage. So the prophecy was that accurate. It was so accurate to the point where even in the Harlem Renaissance period, they even show the saxophones. They show us fighting in the wars. They show us getting high on the corner. You see what I'm saying? But show us with the 40-ounce beer. And eventually they show at the end time, the Buddha come, we learn the knowledge, and we ultimately go on to the next level or make that spiritual transition. But what's also interesting is that in that same region, they built over 50 towers. Now, these 50 towers that they built are the equivalent of skyscrapers, like Empire State Buildings, but it's made out of all stone granite. And then they got Olmec heads at the top of them with cone pyramids at the top of them. But the thing is, they built 50 of these things, and then at the bottom of it, it's like a 4 or 5-story building that spreads out. Then they got like an area where they may be, you know, teaching kids or something, or teaching the people the science. But the key here is they built 50 of them. Now, the reason that's significant is because those 50 towers, just like in that temple walls, in the temple on with the hieroglyphics, they're depicting us here in America. They're saying that where the crisis is going to come from, And where the Christ is going to ferment and resurrect, the Christ energy is going to be in the West, in America. Because why would they build the 50 towers? Why would they have our story on the temple walls? It was talking about us. So it's interesting, it was a woman in Australia that passed away. She was like half white and half, she was mixed like three or four different cultures. And she made the transition, and she contacted one of the channels. And she said, you know, I never would suspect that the people, where she's at in another dimension, that we're worshiping, are the people over there across the water with the pants hanging down off their behind, talking about us here in America. And so it's not so much talking about the hip-hop as much as talking about the soul. And like I was talking about earlier, how when the physical consciousness dies, the soul energy can come online. They're talking about what they're worshiping and what they're dealing with on the other side is how our stars are shining, not based in the physical, but based in the spiritual. Because we understood that the physical, remember Adalabath working the myth, he created this in the image of the Great Mother Realm. It's a copycat. It's a projection. So what's going on here in the physical, it acts as a fermentation process, or it's like an experiment. And right now our souls have been cooking inside this physical matrix. It's cooking inside of our physical bodies until it can make the ultimate transition and be truly born again. But the ancients, not in Angkor Wat is in Cambodia, modern day Cambodia, right next to Vietnam. The channelers and they had the prophecy was so accurate at that time. Like I say, they had 40 ounces and they smoking joints on the temple walls, but they're talking about us. And that's something we got to understand here. Not it goes from the Caribbean up to Canada, but more specifically here in America. The Christ energy, the energy, that's the key, is the energy. Not necessarily the behavior. It's the energy that we have. That's what we got to come to terms with and we got to deal with. Our energy is what they're afraid of. You see what I'm saying? I remember reading in that in the Gospel of Thomas, it said they were talking amongst each other and he said, I'm a jealous God. You know, they're talking about that creator, that Adalabath I'm talking about. They say, I'm a jealous God. And they say, well, you're a jealous God. But then he's a jealous God. They say, well, wait a minute now. If you're a jealous God, if you are all that, if you are all that there is, you rule over everything. If you're a jealous God and you're the Almighty, what do you have to be jealous of? Let me know now. If you are all that, is Michael Jordan jealous of another basketball player in history?
I doubt it.
You see what I'm saying?
Yep.
Is Jim Brown jealous of another running back?
No,
they're the master. So if you're the master, what does Michael Jordan got to be jealous about? What does the creator got to be jealous of? Because it's what's inside of you that he's jealous of and that he's afraid of. Because remember, he blew that eternal soul inside of you. And he knows the only thing that can overtake him is what you got inside of you. Now, the powers that be, while we're sitting up here tripping, they find it necessary to always do rituals to slow our energy down. Now, one thing, like I've said this before, we getting our knowledge back. We can only go back about seven generations. We got damn slaves in the physical context. We can only go back 100 years, 150 years, and that shit is lost. So we just out here with our ass out. But the people
into that, Brother Kasivi, we're going to take a little break, give you and the sister a little time to catch your breath and play a song and come back and dig into it a little bit more. How's that?
Okay. All right, that's cool.
All right, Sam. Hang in there with us, fam. We're going to play a song real quick, and then we'll be back after the quick break.
Okay.
Earth, wind, and fire. inside we knew our love was true for a while. We paid no mind to the past. New love would last every night. Something right would invite us to begin the day.
Okay.
Now, if you would go ahead and finish your breakdown of what you was talking about, brother. Have you go into a little bit of the breakdown on that song we just heard?
Okay. Let me finish this and we go into that. But yeah, it was. But my point here is that the powers that be, the unseen powers. They find it important enough to take time out of their day to do rituals to block our energy. You know, those of us that still, we know they do rituals in California every year. We know that the over in England, the British Parliament or the British Supreme Court,
you know, underneath the Chief Justice, while we have the white wigs in ritual, the Chief Justice wig is nappy at the front, which represents the black man. So obviously they think something about us and something about our energy and about our essence for them to go through this much trouble. So that's the thing that we have to really focus on, is if they have the information, if they control and monitor what goes on Amazon.com, if they've been holding this information since the Moors left, but yet they find it important to make sure that you don't get it, or make sure they do rituals to stop and block your energy. The question we got to ask ourselves, well, what's up with my energy? What is it about me to make them go through that much trouble? Because if you're a billionaire, what business is theirs to deal with me and my energy? So that's got to let you know, it's got to speak volumes about you and what you got inside of you. They tell you the kingdom of heaven is within. You see what I'm saying? So that's something that's above and beyond what the training is, because they're not going to voluntarily tell you who you are. You got to go and get it yourself. That's something again. It's kind of going over some of the similar thing of just like you said, know thyself. But the answer to that question is something. It's a lifelong study, and it is a monster. You are a monster. We are monsters. Our souls. Okay, now you were talking about the song?
After the Love.
When we spoke earlier today, I was telling you that I had saw where you did a lecture about this song and the metaphysical breakdown of the song. And I just kind of wanted to have you share a little bit of that with the audience tonight, of what you found out about that song and how, you came to this, this revelation of some of the messages in the music, in particular of Earth, Wind, and Fire, and we also talked a little bit about George Clinton, but yeah, just kind of give us a little breakdown on that.
Yeah, it was interesting. I was I've been studying the science, and I've always liked Earth, Wind, and Fire, and Parliament Funkadelic, just the music by itself, and I started listening to the song you just played. And I heard it 1,000 times. And then I stopped and said, wait a minute, did he just say that? Now, when you deal with the lyrics, it's talking about us, the souls around here in North America, but it's also about our cosmic epic from an alchemical standpoint. He goes on, he says, for a while, to love was all we could do. That's talking about us in America, because for a while, that's all we could do. But then he later goes on, he says, something happened along the way. What used to be happy is sad. Okay, that's something that happened along the way as we got our knowledge, our metaphysical knowledge. And what used to be happy, talking about, the church and the Christmas and just going through the basic, the matrix and dealing with the Western culture, it doesn't deal with our ancestry, it doesn't deal with our culture. Those things that used to make us happy, now, once you get your metaphysical knowledge, is now sad. And then it goes on to say, and yesterday was all we had, because from a historical standpoint, like we were just talking about earlier, the history, or we were kings and queens in Africa, we were gods and goddesses in ancient Egypt. Yesterday was all we had. You see what I'm saying? And so there's just little subtle messages in there. But then they also go to say, after the love was gone. You see, and that's talking about now. After the love is gone, it's talking about right now we don't love each other no more. There's no love in the hood no more. We don't even got a, we used to have a brother handshake, remember back in the day? We ain't even got that now.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And it's funny that the love, like you said, today, the love is gone. There is no love
in the hood. It's gone. Right, what used to be right is wrong.
Knowing yourself is wrong now.
Right, but that's when you know Maurice White knows what he's talking about, because he drops the subtle things. Because you got to remember, he's doing this stuff in the 70s now. Because in the 70s, we still kind of had at least some love for each other. You still would get your ass whipped by three different mamas before you got home. People still cared. Mm-hmm. Why did that knucklehead nigga do that? Let's get on him. His daddy ain't there. You send the next nigga on the block to go talk to him. People cared, at least. Half cared, at least. And he said, after the love is gone, is now. Because that sets the atmosphere for the alchemical process to take place, or for the eschatological process to close the show. So when you deal with the lyrics of those words, it's talking about now, here in America. And again, I got to emphasize that he did it 30 years ago. So it's a prophetic song. You see? After the love is gone, what used to be right is wrong. We get our knowledge back, and we realize what was right is wrong. You see what I'm saying? And that's just one of the songs. They had a song, several of the Earth, Wind, and Fire. Hell, we know Serpentine Fire. I mean, that's self-explanatory. That's the Kundalini energy.
Exactly.
You see what I'm saying? Shining star. You're a shining star no matter who you are. Shining bright to be what you can truly be. You see what I'm saying? And they go in there, they say, from the petrol of the sun. The petrol is talking about the carbon, the melanin. You see what I'm saying? Or that stone. You talk about that petrol means stone. So from the petrol of the sun, now your work has just begun. Because once you start dealing with your consciousness, dealing with that stone or that alchemy, then you realize, oh, now your work has just begun. You like, we didn't learn the history. But then once you start tapping to the metaphysics, you're like, oh, my God. It's so much I don't know. It's endless. Master Yoda, he may have took him 300 years before he could start teaching the people. You see what I'm saying? From the petrol of the sun, now your work has just begun. You're a shining star, no matter who you are, shining bright to see what you can truly be. You know, and yeah, and I did two tapes on it, and it's over and over again, with Earth, Wind, and Fire, and also George Clinton.
Okay. Tell us a little bit about the George Clinton part. I mean, you know, I know the premise is basically the same, but you know, George Clinton is that's another one that has always kind of struck with me from you know when I was a short. I assume, man, you're probably about the same age. I'm 42. So,
well, I'm a little younger, but
okay.
It's where I'm from.
That music has always vibrated with me. You know, especially certain songs. You know, they was talking about the mothership connection, and you know all that kind of. Man, I'm like, it's something with that. You know, it's really something with that. You know, one nation under a group. You know, and that type of thing. So, I mean, I've always resonated with that music.
Yeah, it's over and over again. They have, obviously we know the Atomic Dog. That's talking about the god Anubis. You know, the Atomic Dog. They talk about Cosmic Cow, talking about the goddess Hathor. You know, the Cosmic Cow coming down on you. Talking about coming down on them. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
They say Funk don't only soothes, it removes. It removes pain. It's talking about the melanin. They say we're some extraterrestrial brothers, because what does that mean? Mm-hmm. Terrestrial means earth dweller. Mm-hmm. Extraterrestrial means that which is beyond the earth. Mm-hmm. That's all it means. They train us when we say something's extraterrestrial and alien, that's something that's supposed to have a negative connotation to it.
Right.
But on this dimension, what's not from the earth? Then we talked about the mythology, talking about our soul. Your soul is beyond the earth. Your soul comes from the great mother realm. It has a spiritual origin. So the extraterrestrial is you. We some extraterrestrial brothers. Didn't George say that? Extraterrestrial, that's you.
And see that? That's
your physical,
that's one thing that kind of sort of trips me out about our people. We'll say on one hand, you know, our ancestors knew about the cosmos and, you know, ancient Kemetic, you know, they talked about different solar systems and this and that. How did they know all of that, and where did they tell you that they were from? But when you start to talk to some people about that, they start saying, well, no, you know, I'm on Earth. I ain't flying all out to Mars.
Well, that,
where do you,
you know
think
what?
Your people came from?
You just made a really strong point. Now, repeat what you just said again.
Which part?
The part about I ain't about to fly out to Mars. Repeat that again so they can
hear
that.
They will quickly say, well, I need to stay here on Earth. I'm not going to fly out to Mars. That's ludicrous.
Exactly. We do a call every Sunday night, and I don't know if your listeners got a pen and paper.
I'll put it in the chat room.
Yeah, we do a call every Sunday night, and the conference call number is 712-451-6100, and the pen is 106-4466-pound. If they have any questions, they can reach us at JEDI mailroom@gmail.com. Now, what you just said is the reason why you have these people still around here walking around the earth and nothing has been done. It's because there are those souls that choose to keep animating and keep reincarnating right here. And you don't even realize it. The same one that told you, I ain't about to be going no Mars. As soon as he die in the hospital, his soul go run and jump in one of them newborn baby infants that just done been born so he can animate their flesh.
The funny part about it is the same people that would say they ain't going to Mars on, you know, in front of other people will tell you about the cosmology of the Zulu and the cosmology
of
the Shogun.
And
to tell
you,
they know where our people come from, and to tell you that you better have
some shea butter and some kinky twists.
Yes, and they know about the cosmology of our people, but they won't talk about it openly. Why not?
You know what? And they can say they sorry ass right here. Tell them I said it.
I ain't trying to come back. I'm ready to get off this ride. Personally, I'm ready to get off this boat.
Okay.
I'm like Woody. Woody in 2012.
And see, the thing about it is,
what time is your conference call on Sunday?
On Sunday, it's at 9 o'clock.
9 p.m. Eastern, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
And what's amazing to me is, you know, you get to study the cosmos, you get to study the planet, the stars. There's even planets out there they haven't even told you about yet.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing about it is, why would you not want to go visit? Why would you not want to go and just take a look? You're supposed to be God. You're supposed to be the creator of the heavens and the earth.
Mm-hmm.
But you want to stay here on this mundane mess.
And it is a mess.
Yes. I mean, it have its beautiful parts. You know, it has its rough part. It's just like a rose. All flowers die away and bloom and come back. So just because you leave and go to Mars don't mean you can't come back at a later time. But they don't, when your circumference is so little, that's when you say stuff like that because your mind can't go but so far. Their mind is stuck right here. You know, those are the main ones that's you know, in the confusion and want to holler out Islam and peace and Hotep and, you know, all this other stuff, which there's nothing wrong with that. But how can you sit there and say you are God or you working towards reaching your God potential and you don't want to go nowhere else, you want to stay right here?
Yeah.
I don't understand that.
I won't mention any names. It was a friend of mine. I won't mention any names. His mama passed away. And his mama connected to his wife through the channel. And she said, my God, had I known it would be like this, meaning once she died and left the physical body,
mm-hmm.
had I known it would be like this, shit, I'd have did this shit 30 years ago. See what I'm saying? And so there was like, he said, what is it like? She said, I can't put into words, physical words, that the human brain can to conceptualize. And then she paused for a few seconds, and then she just started laughing this euphoric laugh. Because the only way she can kind of almost explain what it's like not to be in this physical three-dimensional state that we're in is complete joy, but that still don't give it justice. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So we trying to hold on to something, like when they built that park in that movie. But Woody decided, no, I want some of that.
Mm-hmm.
I want that. I don't want the ark. I don't want to stay in this three-dimensional thing because we got bigger fish to fry. I can't emphasize that enough. You know, we talk about certain things, unifying principle. When I say we're from the cosmos, I mean it. You see what I'm saying?
And learn how to count. That's the problem. We don't know how to count.
Like I said a few minutes ago, if you're a cat, and you got the potential to be a human, wouldn't you want to aspire to be human? If you know that it's in you to do it, or would you want to just be a cat to get more fish? You understand? It's the same concept.
That brother that don't want to go to Mars won't come back a cat and be eating some fish.
You see what I'm saying? So his ultimate reality, or he can only do certain things at a certain level as a cat. No matter how hard he tries, he can only do it at a certain level. But when he becomes a human, his mind can do all kinds of shit. That's how we're supposed to look at being in this physical state and going through this spiritual transformation to the next level. We got to fall in love with making the transition. Fall in love with the other side. Fall in love, like the sister just said, wanting to take a look at Mars, wanting to take a look at another dimension. We can tap into these things with our minds, with the cosmic records.
I'm actually, able to do that. I know I'm on the path. I ain't there yet, but I'm definitely headed there. And, man, I'm telling you, like I said, I can't wait to get off this rock. I love certain things about this place, but my experience has been interesting. But I don't want it to end here. I don't want to keep coming back here.
Exactly.
I want to go on to the next level to experience bigger and better things.
Brother Kasivi, when we spoke earlier, you asked me had I watched the movie Avatar.
Yes.
And at the time I told you no. Well, since us speaking earlier today, I went online and I found the movie. And oh, my.
Wow. Ain't that something?
Oh, man. Y'all, if y'all have not seen the movie, I'm going to go ahead and put the link in the chat room, because I don't pay for nothing. I watch it for free. But anyway, yeah. I'm going to put the link for this movie in the chat room. If y'all get a chance, please go watch this movie. Sister Empress is just in the room saying she heard it was very metaphysical. Was it? Oh, my. It was like
the name of the father. He actually represented Hiram Abiff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we spoke on the lecture. We spoke on a lecture last night about the references and the different clues they left behind,
mm-hmm.
about who the different characters were depicting. So part of that was the mythology about the Nephilim, the giants.
Mm-hmm.
And part of that was about Hiram Abiff.
Wow. I mean, wow. That movie is awesome. I can't All I can say is it 10 and 15 minutes into the movie, it had already packed so much information into it.
Mm-hmm.
The person that wrote the script to this movie,
mm-hmm.
and the director, they know you need to watch this movie.
They know who it is.
I
will tell your listeners this. There's a book they can go get from Barnes & Noble, Borders, and it's about the master architect, and it's called The Hiram Key, HIRAMKEY, The Hiram Key. And when you look in that book, they have a picture of Hiram Abiff and his wife, and the head, like the way that the Nephilims were wearing their hair in the movie,
that is the same
way that Hiram's wife's hair was, and the same exact headdress that the wife was wearing is the same exact one that Hiram's wife is wearing in that book, that, you know, The Hiram Key. And you go to any Barnes & Noble, any bookstore, and get it.
Yeah, I'm trying to find the
link.
I bought that book over 10 years ago, and it's been so long since I've read it, I don't remember a lot of it, but I've had that book for a long time, so I know I'm getting on that.
Go take a look. Go revisit them pictures, and you're going to say, oh, my God, that's her. Because as soon as I saw it and I saw her necklace and I saw when the mother came out, I said, oh, my gosh, that is Hiram's wife, and that's Hiram. I said, okay, I got it, you know. And a lot of people didn't question the fact that the young lady said, because he was like, how do you know how to speak English? And she said, because the people from the sky have already come here. And we try to teach them, too. But the thing about it is they never said they killed the people that came there. So who's to say that those earthlings or people from the sky that came there didn't take some of them back or bring some of them back to Earth?
And if anything, you know they got them some samples.
No, they took them some of them back. That's how the giants got here. That's why you got skeletons over in Africa that's 10 feet tall. I got an uncle myself that he was almost 9 feet. I got an uncle that was tall like that. He died, and they had to give him a special built casket. And I honestly don't believe it was because he had a defect with his pituitary gland, because that's what they tell you when your children grow extremely tall like that. They say, you know, or extremely short with dwarfism, they'll say that there's something wrong with the pituitary gland. But I don't believe that. And in that movie, they all spoke English to a certain degree. And they said that they had come before. They just didn't say when. And they just didn't say where they went. But you can't say that just because they came, that none of the avatars didn't go to Earth with them. And see, it's going to be a part two, because at the end of the movie, that little nerdy guy that was calling all the shots, they let him go. See, in actuality, they should have killed him because he was the brains of the operation. It wasn't the big soldier dude with the scar in his face. It wasn't him. It was actually that nerd that they let board on the plane at the end of that movie. So that's why it's going to be a part two.
Wow.
And if you notice, in that movie, they drew off the energy of nature. Everything was about nature and being connected and becoming one with it.
That's not to give the movie away, because I want people to see it.
Yeah, okay.
Because we got a lot of people in the chat room who have not seen it yet. So I just put the link in the chat room for everybody to go see it, so y'all can go see it for free. So take advantage of that.
Okay.
But,
yeah.
I mean, you can go ahead if you can, you know, what you were saying I don't think is giving the movie away.
I was just making a point about being connected. Maybe like in Star Wars, they talk about the Force, and they had a very similar concept in the Avatar movie. Just basically being connected, being in tune with your surroundings.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's pretty much what I was saying.
Mm-hmm. And it's funny, you know, when you look at a lot of the African tribes and a lot of the indigenous tribes, They were one with nature, and they also held trees to be very sacred.
And that's because you can come back in the form of a tree.
Hmm.
They also they we're talking about Angkor Wat. They have something called the Banyan tree, and locals say that the tree starts from the sky. It's the only tree in the world that starts from the sky. It's called the Banyan tree. That's over there in the Angkor Wat region. It's interesting, like in the Lord of the Rings, they had them tree people,
mm-hmm.
you know, and in part two, you know, there was just them, you know, that the tree, you know, tree has a lot of spiritual significance.
Well, tree people actually exist, though.
We've seen one on TV.
Yeah, they got one that's here now, but back hundreds of thousands of years ago, it was a whole nation of them, but they died off. And that's where that mythology comes from. But they were actual people. That has been proven.
Well, everybody in the chat room wants to go watch the movie and then do a show about the movie. They want to talk about the movie. I'm telling y'all, you have to
another
go see
movie. Another good movie is Ninja Assassin.
Mm.
Ninja Assassin is a 5-star movie.
That is just too. See, synchronicity is no joke, people. Let me tell you. I gotta tell y'all this. You just said Ninja Assassin. I just heard that about that movie the first time earlier today, just before the show. My nephew, who is in town with his wife from California, walked in the house before the show with Avatar and Ninja Assassin. We haven't even talked about any of this.
Yeah, Ninja Assassin.
And it's so synchronous that you were just talking about Avatar and you just mentioned Ninja Assassin. That is
Ninja,
not a coincidence.
Ninja Assassin, I want the listeners to know, when you watch Ninja Assassin, what I want you all to think and concentrate on is the speed of thought and the speed of light. That is what that is what those ninjas had mastered. Speed of thought and the speed of light. Because these spiritual beings and deities are among us. And the soul operates at a faster vibration than the rest of the body. But what happens is it's fused in the human body by the blood. The blood keeps it bound here in the flesh. It's like the cement. And that's what slows it down. But when you think you see glimpses of people standing in the corner of a room, or you think you may have seen something move out of the corner of your eye, you actually did. It's just moving at a different vibration. It's just moving at a faster vibration. And sometimes if you blink at just the right time and the light is hitting at just the right angle, you can catch it and see it. That's basically what those ninjas had mastered in that movie, and part of mastering it, you have to first let go of that ego. You have to be very disciplined to let go of your ego, and you have to let go of your animal. You have to use your animal senses and your spiritual senses and not your physical senses. And part of breaking that, you know, they had to go through a certain level of inflicted pain in order to do the purification of that, but it is an awesome movie.
They intentionally rated it low, you know, maybe so people wouldn't go see it, but if they put money behind it, it would have been number one up until Avatar.
It shows the power of the mind. See, there's a difference between the brain and the mind. And when you can control the mind, you can control the matter of the body. And that's the thing. When you connect completely with your soul and spiritual self, your mind and your soul can connect the flesh. It can control it. It can manipulate the flesh to do things. But you have to get yourself up to that to that level. These particular assassins were bred to do this from the time they were children. So it is an amazing movie. Very amazing. And there's nothing religious about it. You know, it tells the truth, and it's about spirituality. It's not about religion. And so many people deal with the religion. They just don't want to let it go.
You know, I say this, they can keep the religion. I'll deal with the mythology. You know, it's more entertaining, and it's not being forced as a way of life.
Right.
So.
Exactly.
Some people underestimate the importance of mythology. You know, mythology was the way our ancestors were able to tell us how things were, you know, tell us what the situation was without just blatantly saying this what it is.
Exactly. And like brother, you just said it, it's entertaining. Not only do you learn, but you're entertained at the same time. A soap opera ain't got nothing on their mythologies.
Right, and right now they're giving us their mythology to idolize and worship their type of deities. Perfect example, Cinderella, things of that nature. Different stories that some people read to their children at night before that child goes to bed. That's a very sensitive time. Any time before you're about to go to sleep, that's implanting something in your mind. You're holding on to that right before you go to sleep.
Yeah, no, one thing they do, I will give them credit for, modern mythology is in these movies. There's a general theme, particularly to the movies in the West. Now, if you see movies overseas, it's different. Sometimes you don't always have to have the happy ending. But you always have the hero, and he always got to go save the goddess. You see what I'm saying? You always had that Osiris Isis element in it. There's always an adversarial situation or two different polarities going on, which they refer to as good and evil. But from a mythological standpoint, it's talking about polarity. And we know, particularly in these last 10 years, they didn't drop. You know, with the Matrix, the Lord of the Rings, before, you know, the Star Wars, all the Star Treks, you know, from 79 on up, all the knowledge is in there. They drop so much in them. TV, the Next Generation Star Trek is one. If you can, try to go to Amazon and buy all of the series of the Next Generation. And they just had a TV show that about the dollhouse dealing with mind projection. And how they plant chips into humans and also these like these androids and control their minds. So they're giving the information to the people in these movies now. You know, not all the movies go tell everything, but more are going to tell more than others. But they are putting this stuff in these movies now, and they have been doing it, even the Superman stuff. There's metaphysical things of Superman. Remember. He was learning the Akashic records from his father, Jor-El, through the crystals.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And that crystals is like the Akashic records. And if you remember, when Superman was a boy, he chased the school bus home, and he told his father. He said he's frustrated. He said, "Why?" Well, says, "Because if I went off with a football team, I could score a touchdown every time." And his father told Superman, you know, the teenage Superman, his earthly father, he said, you know, son, when you came to us, I knew that you were special and you were here for a reason. Say, now what that reason is, I don't know, but I know one thing, it's not to be running down no footballs. You're here for a purpose.
Yeah.
See what I'm saying? And when he was getting a lesson from his father in the Akashic Records, his father told him, do not interfere with the evolution of the humans on Earth.
Mm.
You see what I'm saying? We represent those stars. We're conscious of it. We're here for a specific reason. We're here for our spiritual path. We're dealing with this spiritual transformation. You see what I'm saying? That's why I say we're from the cosmos. Things that relate to the physical
It's just that it relates to the physical. The physical is part of the illusion. The physical has a beginning and an end. We represent the infinite. So we're here to do things as it relates to that, as it relates to infinite things. When I made the comment earlier about got to stop holding people's hands, got to let the thing, let everything flow. The knowledge isn't for everybody. That's something we got to realize.
That's so
it's
true.
Not for everybody. Don't prostitute your sacred knowledge. You're worth more than that. Your knowledge is more
Ain't
than that.
Ain't cast pearls to swine.
Value it. If it's $1 million, don't you think they'd be calling you?
Hmm.
Blowing your email and your voicemail up? But you talk about your sacred knowledge, they call you crazy. You see what I'm saying?
Indeed.
See, the difference is they think that you're crazy, right? But you know they are. And you can document it.
I look at it like this. When you try to give certain things, like this type of information to certain people, it's like trying to force something into somebody's clenched fist. Until they open it, it ain't going to happen. It's the same with the mind. Until you open it, you can't nothing get in.
Right. And how can somebody make an intelligent opinion if you've been studying metaphysics for 10, 15, 20 years? And they heard you do a five, you just had a 10, 15-minute conversation with them, or they seen one tape that you lent them. And then they go come back and they go discredit or talk. How can they intelligently make a comment on that when you grew up in the tradition? You grew up in that and you didn't dealt with this for X amount of time. They can't make the same type of intelligent assessment that you can. So my point is that, you know, it's just, is Obi-Wan Kenobi a Yoda? Go explain themselves to those, what was those little people, those sand people they called them? Is Obi-Wan Kenobi go explain himself? He's a Jedi master. You see what I'm saying? This is our sacred knowledge. Don't nobody want to be down, that's their business. We got to keep it moving. We dealing with the cosmos. We dealing with star constellations. We dealing with a spiritual transformation.
Dealing with triple darkness.
And see,
we don't have time to be dealing with
Kali Yuga. We know we're in Kali Yuga, so we know this thing is coming to an end. So why would we want to stay trapped in the third dimension and with this earth bound, and not earth bound in that sense, but with this third dimensional ideology that this is it. Why would we want to stay trapped in that when the information is clear that this
exactly.
thing is coming to an end? Global warming, you know, the corona mass ejections with the sunspots, you know, all this stuff is happening, you know, and we walk around here acting like, oh, you know, this is going to be,
speaking of global warming, they try to make it seem like this is something that's out of order that has never happened before on the earth.
No doubt.
It's not the first time the Earth has had a shift in poles or a melting. I mean, the ice age, the melting of the last ice age was, what, about 10,000 years ago? It's not the first time this has happened.
Exactly.
90 seconds.
All right, hold on briefly, y'all. The call-in number is 347-215-7628. We have about 2 minutes left in the live stream. I want to thank everyone who came into the chat room to chat with us. It's about 22, 23 of us in the chat room. So thank y'all for coming out tonight. We will more than likely have a part two next week so we can get into some more information that we did not discuss tonight because there's a lot more.
60 seconds.
Tonight. So,
yeah, there is a lot more to cover with this brother and sister because they dropping real science.
All right, 347-215-7628. All right, there are a few callers on. Well, there's. Let me see if this caller maybe possibly has a question. If they don't have a question, we can just keep it flowing for the next couple of minutes. Area code 248. Could you let us know who you are and where you're calling from? Area code 248.
10 seconds.
Yeah, if y'all want to continue with the conversation, just call in on the call-in number, and you can continue to hear us for as long as we keep it going. We don't want to hold the brother and sister up too long tonight, but because we are going to do a part two, so call in while you can.
Well, they can't call in no more. But we did have another couple of callers on the line. Wow, we've covered a lot tonight. I just hope everyone knows the value of the pearls they're getting tonight and that we're not casting any pearls of swine. They take this information and study and then practically apply the knowledge in which they've been given, because it doesn't turn into wisdom until you practically apply it. You can read all you want and study all you want. If you don't make the necessary changes within self, it doesn't matter what you've obtained.
And they can also email us, like I said, at the Jedi mailroom at gmail.com or Jedi questions and answers at gmail.com. I know some people are shy about, you know, speaking over the radio or a conference call.
Right.
We get that a lot, too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, it's funny because we have regulars that tune into the show every week, and most of the time we don't get a lot of people that will actually call in and even ask questions, but, you know, they continue to listen, and that's the good thing. You know, that's what we want to get the information out there to
right.
those who are seeking it.
Right.
I ain't
yeah.
trying to force this on nobody, because, you know, then it'll
yeah.
just turn into another religion.
Exactly. It can't be forced, but I mean, the truth and the real is the real. You know, there are some people that choose to live in a fake, fictional make believe world, and they create this world for themselves. It's real and material, but it has no value. When they die, they can't take it with them. You can't even take your flesh with you when you die, but you can take your mind with you and your soul with you.
So in
the
that
mind
regard,
mm-hmm.
in that regard, in your point of view, where we are now, what should we be doing to get to that point? Exactly. We've covered a lot of things that we need to study and things of that nature. Where should a person start if they're just now coming into some of this information, for those who generally our audience knows about some of these things, but for a person who's just now coming into this, where should they start?
Well, I think the first thing, I think above and beyond anything, is to know the beginning, is to know the mythology. Because if you don't know the beginning, you don't have a reference point. Otherwise, it's just a bunch of information, it's just a bunch of data, and it's deep. But we all do things for a reason. We all do things for a purpose. People that called in and is listening to this show tonight, they're doing it for a reason. They're doing it because they want to learn some knowledge. See what I'm saying? Learning the beginning gives the reference point. It gives you an understanding of who you are, who your higher self is, your soul, and what game or what role your soul plays in this physical matrix. You see what I'm saying? And I think that the what I would suggest, when most of us grew up in the church, you get a book called Gnostic Scriptures by Bentley Layton. You can also Google Gnostic, and you get a whole bunch of stuff to come up. You can really go to the internet and just Google your Gnostics and just print off about 40 pages and just read it and get an idea of what's going on. But, one that I strongly suggest is Bentley Layton's Gnostic Scriptures, and start there. Next thing, it's a G as in garage, Nostic.
Yeah, the author last name, but you said Bentley
Layton. Bentley Layton, Layton.
Okay. I have some Gnostic texts. I have the Gnostic Gospels and. I have some of the Gnostic texts, the Book of Enoch, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
some of the others I can't just call off the top of my head right now. I have quite a few books, but, you know, and there's Aquarian Gospel of Jesus Christ, which I think.
Oh, yeah, I have that. Yeah, Jesus and the Essenes.
Check.
Another good one, also I think is important, is to deal with the Hermetic teaching, because it deals with an aspect of the Pharaonic thought. Although Swallow Lubitz go knee deep in Pharaonic thought, but you don't really want to get in the Swallow if you're just starting off.
If you're just starting off, the easiest the two to get, as far as that can break things down for you, are the book The Gods of Eden, and there's a book called The Earth Chronicles.
Zechariah Sitchin?
Uh-huh.
Okay, yeah.
Those are very good for people that's just starting and trying to come up out of the confusion of religious teachings that, you know, they want to tell you Noah built the ark, but they don't want to tell you how he built the ark and why.
And I know we also know to get Walter Williams' Historical Origin of Christianity. Those that have to be.
Oh, man, Walter Williams.
Ben
whoa.
Had that.
You know what I'm
Ben had that one.
Walter Williams, Historical Origin of Christianity.
That's
pretty much eliminate any type of doubt.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody straddling the fence, after you deal with Walter Williams, if you still dealing with a Florida Evans complex, I don't really know what to say. You see what I'm saying? Also, get the Hermetic Principles, the Seven Hermetic Principles by the Three Initiates. And anything you can get that got some Hermetic writings in it, read it. That's therapy.
That Emerald Tablets.
Yeah, exactly. The Emerald, that is the Hermetic. Before Hermetic, it was the Emerald Tablet. And that's because that's therapy. Sometimes you need to read. It's like a conversation. Sometimes you may not have a conscious person to talk to, but when you pick up that Hermetic teachings, it's like Hermes is right there teaching. Excellent teacher. Just set your way with words. You see what I'm saying? Like you said, brother, it's entertaining. It's fun. The Hermetic scripture is fun. It makes the knowledge fun.
And for our black revolutionaries, our black power, and our black nationalists, Hermes Trismegistos is just a Greek rendition of Tahuti.
Okay.
Hermes thrice great is Tahuti. If you research it enough and you follow the leads, it will take you straight back to the wisdom of Tahuti.
Not only that, we got to understand this. The Greek stuff is black. The original Greeks were the Etruscans.
Exactly.
And we got to understand that the Moors wrote the Greek mythology, not Roman mythology.
Mm-hmm.
In the Norse mythology and the Celtic mythologies and all that. Even the stuff up in Sweden.
And please get Dante, the Divine.
There's no way in hell William Shakespeare wrote all that shit.
Yeah.
Come on now.
Well, William Shakespeare was dropping the science, though. I will say that.
I mean, no, I'm not talking about where he got the stuff from.
Yeah, because he got all the
hidden, they put it together.
He got all the hidden cosmic codes.
And
In his poetry.
And he was also commissioned to take the credit that there was a group of heavy scholars at the time
mm-hmm.
that put it together for Shakespeare. They just put Shakespeare's name on it. See what I'm saying?
Sister Latoya, you just mentioned Dante. You mentioned a book or something by Dante?
The Divine Comedy. The Last Divine Comedy.
You can go to the internet
mm-hmm.
and go to Google and type it in and read it.
I mean, it's long. But, it has the, if we're not connected with the cosmos and don't learn the cosmos and don't learn the laws of the cosmos and don't learn about the dimensions and different things that, you know, they put dead in our faces, but we don't know the true meaning of it, you know, that's what's going to keep you from really learning.
And getting back to the
because they put it right there. They don't hide it. They put it right there. William Shakespeare, in one of his writings, he said, I don't remember exactly which play it was, but I was reading through it online, and he said, "Does mine eyes deceive me? Do I see three suns?"
three sons, S-U-N. And the thing about it is, you know, when you hear in the military and in aerodynamics when they talk about Bravo and Echo, that's what that Echo is talking about. But you have to know the science behind why you're able to see three suns in the air. It's called a sun dog. But the definition that they give for a sun dog and what a sun dog really truly is, different things. There's a meaning, but there's a meaning behind the meaning. And it's dealing with the sun that we have out there in the first place, because that's not our original sun. That is just an echo of our original sun. That's a reflection of the original, but that's not the original.
We might have said that.
That is not the original sun.
Yeah, that's
at all. That is a reflection.
Because you got to ask yourself the question.
That is a hologram.
When they go out in space, and as soon as they leave the Earth's atmosphere, what happens to the sun? It disappears.
That is a hologram, just like you were discussing about crystal. And that is a hologram.
The sun is so hot, and it's so far away, they can fry eggs in Florida at 9 o'clock in the morning. But you mean it so as soon as you leave Earth's atmosphere, it disappears. You ever think about that?
I have recently, yeah. Yeah, I have.
It just, not so much for y'all, I know y'all, but I'm talking about for the listeners. It disappears. Where did it go? So you have to be dealing with some type of multi-dimensional reality we're working with here. Because otherwise, if it's just all physical, where did the sun go?
Yeah, I've been thinking about it a lot lately. In addition to that, what did I mention to Sister Magic the other day? I mentioned to her something about the moon.
Oh, yeah.
The dark side of the moon. How is it, they say that the moon reflects the sun. So if the sun comes up every day, but we have dark moons, why isn't the moon reflecting the sun then?
Well, see, this is the thing, right? Okay, let's put it this way. Ever since we were born, those of us that have eyesight, we see a sun during the day and a moon at night. That's how we identify the day from the night. Okay? Now, what would happen if you didn't see the sun or you didn't see the moon for a month straight, but you still had a day and a night? I'm going to take it a little step further. I've been teaching on this for the past 3 weeks. If, you know, the earth is a ship, whether people want to accept that or not. The earth is a ship, just like a space shuttle and just like a Boeing 747. It can be navigated. It can be controlled. The rotation of it can be controlled. Its axis can be controlled. It can travel through the cosmos just like an airplane or just like a space shuttle. So if I was a ruler and I chose to move the earth or the ship to a further outer limit, and I didn't want to unnerve the citizens or unnerve the population, because we are so docile and so on such a childlike level, all they would have to do is provide us a sun during the day and a moon at night, and we would never catch on and know the difference. We would still think we're in our same orbit and our same neighborhood of the galaxy, when really we could begin being moved and not even know it. You see, this has been going on. They've been doing this
But see, you can trick people who eyes ain't open. People who really truly don't know nature and really truly don't know what they created. That's just like me making a dress, and then I go in the store and see what somebody done made a counterfeit. Like, I'm not going to know the difference between my dress and a counterfeit that looks just like it. Yeah, it looked like the same exact dress I made, but guess what? I could tell that it's fake. Why? Because I made it, and I just know it ain't right. Just like how you can go and get Louis Vuitton and Gucci bags right now that look just like the ones at the store, and they knock off. They just busted a warehouse up in New York for selling counterfeit cigarettes that look like the real cigarettes. And that's just on a minute, minor level.
Right.
I'm talking about on a major level. When you know the moon, you know the sun, then you know when they put a different one up there. And you know it. Then next thing you know, over in the Netherlands, they got a spiral in the sky, and they lying talking about a Russian missile that went off.
Thank you.
Okay?
Thank you. The same thing, they won't really tell anybody the truth about the Bermuda Triangle.
All you got to do is provide them with a sun during the day and a moon at night.
Remember, they said
to keep them, just to keep people calm. That's all the hell they got to do, and ain't nobody going to ask no question.
At the end of 98, remember they said we were, the Earth was in a black hole. Remember? That's what the magazine said.
Wow. All right. Well, Brother Maru, if you don't have any other questions, I'm done for the night. I've got to sit back and absorb all of this information we've been discussing today, and get ourselves ready for next Monday. Did you have any other questions for Brother Kasibi and Sister Latoya?
Nope. I'll save the rest of my questions for next week.
Well, I definitely want to thank
you. Like you said, they have dropped so much.
Yes. I mean, I'm loving it. It's real science.
Night.
Yeah, it's time for us to discuss this stuff.
I'm going to sit back and let it marinate for a minute.
Mm-hmm. Indeed, indeed. Well, I thank both of you, Brother Kasibi, Sister Latoya. Thank you so much for coming on tonight, and we look forward to having you back on next Monday.
Okay. Thank you. Have a good one.
All right. Peace and blessings.
Yeah.
Peace to the God and Goddess.
All right. Peace, brother.